on the Commons with Sue Bartholomew, and in the studio with me is Frank Short. And welcome, Frank, and happy early St. Patrick's Day.
And the same to you, Sue.
I always love these Irish songs when you come in every year, Frank, because they really get me going and get me energized to do the show.
A good rebel song every once in a while is just what you need in a community association.
I think maybe we ought to borrow an idea that we were given by a mutual friend of ours one year and get big speakers and drive around the neighborhood blasting some of these songs.
Ah, yes.
That's what we should do for St. Patrick's Day this year. What do you think?
Works for me.
Works for you, huh? So, Frank, what would you like to basically talk about? I'm going to let you have your say.
Well,
pretty much.
Let's follow a thread that we started in the last hour when we talked about the bill that Senator Lindsey has introduced in Texas, which would provide a degree, at any rate, of governmental oversight over homeowners associations, at least by making the offices of the county attorney available to enforce compliance with the requirements of consumer protections provisions in the Texas law. And let's look at the absence of provisions equivalent to that here in Virginia. And not only the absence of any provisions like that, but let's look at what I believe is an intellectually dishonest and actually misleading use of government resources to deprive homeowners as consumers of the benefits of consumer protection offices. As you know, Shu, here in Fairfax County, we have an office that is called the Office of Cable and Consumer Affairs. And that office actually sponsors a TV show. For those of you who are within our TV cable reception, the TV show runs on cable channel 16. It will run next on Tuesday, March 11th, from 7 to 8 p.m. And this this TV show, which is called Your Community, Your Call, seems to me, based on having watched it several times, to be nothing more than an infomercial for the Community Association Institute. The guests on the show appear to have been exclusively drawn from the ranks of CAI. There have been actual endorsements or plugs for CAI given out on the show. And there has been very little in the way of non-CAI information made available. You know, we've talked about what CAI really is, how it's really chartered corporately for tax purposes, who the members of CAI really are, and what their agenda really appears to be, in our opinion. So this TV show is one of the undertakings by this Fairfax County Office of Cable and Consumer Affairs. That office has a website. And when you go to the website of the office, you'll find that there is there's a place to register consumer complaints about businesses. If you have a problem with a car dealership or a dry cleaner, you can contact this office and you can register an online complaint about that business. And the office actually publishes the names of the businesses and the numbers of complaints that have been received about the business and whether those complaints were favorably resolved. You will find a couple of management companies listed, management companies that run homeowners associations listed on there with the number of complaints about the management companies. But what you won't find, and this is what's so unusual, you won't find a single community association or homeowners association listed as having had a complaint lodged against it.
Oh, really?
Not one.
You mean we're all perfect?
Well, you know, how many times has the industry tried to portray homeowners associations as what, the world of what? Carefree living. You can't have any complaints when you're out there in carefree living world.
Right.
Some people have been trying to inquire as to why it is that community associations, which we'll tell you, we're a business. We're businesses here. This homeowners association, this board of directors, yeah, they're elected by the homeowners, but they're elected to run a business, mm-hmm. You see. Well, their business, ladies and gentlemen, can hurt you a lot more than the dry cleaner, than the car dealership.
Oh, boy.
The dry cleaner can't summon you to appear before the kangaroo court because you didn't polish your doorknob. Okay, but your community association can.
That's sort of putting it in the most basic of terms, right?
The car dealership can't fine you because you didn't change your oil. But if you change your oil in front of your house,
guess what?
You're getting a summons to the kangaroo court. And they can fine you for that. And if you don't pay the fine, they will foreclose on your house non-judicially. They will sell that house from under you on the courthouse steps. And the officers of the state of Virginia will show up at your door and throw you on the street. But you can't complain, you see. You have no government office will accept a complaint like that.
Even though they pretend to.
Oh, yes. They're the office, you see, of cable and consumer affairs.
Consumer affairs.
Yes. Well, you know, if you're not getting cable TV, that's a big deal. But, you know, if you're on the street, well, you know, we can't be bothered with every single little isolated incident. You know, we can't be taking those kind of complaints.
Frank, why are we promoting this show on my show for all?
We're promoting it because I want people to tune in and see the industry for what it is. See the faces of these people who are on there speaking for the industry. And then guess what? You get to call in. Let's see. Is the number on here for...
Yeah, it's either there or on the second page.
Phone in your questions, too. 703-818-1445 for live, on-the-air questions from our guests. The phone is active only during the program hour. And if you can't call in during the live program, for all of you who aren't within the Channel 16 vast viewing area, you can email your questions not later than Friday, March 7th, which is yesterday. So, you know, you're out of luck if you wanted to email your questions in.
You know, I take emails up to the last minute before I leave the house. Why do they need a whole week to figure out the emails?
Well, I wanted to tell the listeners that the subject matter for the next show will be assessments, penalties, and collections.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So, get out your kangaroo suit, Captain Kangaroo suit, and your Mickey Mouse ears, and don all that regalia, and be sure to tune in to Channel 16 on Tuesday, March 7th, at 7 p.m. and listen closely for the words due process. And feel free to call these guys up and ask them where in the Virginia Property Owners Association Act the words due process
appear.
Yes. Now, this, you know, again, we're talking about assessments, penalties, and collections. We've talked in the past here about the Olton case. That's the flag case down in
Richmond?
Outside of Richmond.
That's right.
The law firm that represents the Homeowners Association.
Yes.
Will be represented on this TV show.
That's right.
Next Tuesday night. That very law firm. And you can call in and ask them, hey, you know, if fines are such a red-hot idea, why is it you didn't try to fine Mr. Olton?
Poor Mr. Olton's had everything thrown at him.
Yes, well, I mean, yeah, well, at least with Mr. Olton, they tried the injunctive relief route. And lo and behold, they've gotten what they wanted through injunctive relief. Whether we agree with it or not, injunctive relief seems to work, doesn't it, Cheryl?
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it? So, but
we can't waste time going through that.
Oh, no, that sounds too much like due process, doesn't it?
But at least go
in front of a real judge who's actually read the Constitution and, you know, no kangaroo court.
Well,
can't be having that.
Yeah, it's questionable in this case.
Can't be having that.
That's true.
Yes, but I've often wondered why they didn't just fine him.
Well, I think he's calling the $150,000 a fine. You know, he's... You just don't get slapped with that kind of a bill by the judge.
Yes, well, at least they didn't call it fining here. They called it penalty, as you said.
That's Virginia, you see.
Yes.
I attended one of CAI's classes,
and
the attorneys, and not one of them has been represented, not the one that's represented on the show, said that in Virginia, because of the Gilman case, we just don't call them fines. You see, we can get around it by calling it an assessment or a penalty or anything else. What he neglected to say, and he wouldn't let me raise my hand because I'd already said it too much, what he neglected to say was that in the Gilman case, they also said you couldn't disguise a fine as anything else.
I believe the exact words from Gilman are, quote, neither may a fine be imposed disguised as an assessment.
That's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, under the POA, I believe it calls them charges.
That's right.
Charges which may be treated as assessments. Charges which may then form the basis for the non-judicial foreclosure of your house for not polishing your doorknob without ever going in front of a real judge. Such is the state of carefree living here in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
It's not just the Commonwealth, it's all over the place. The one thing that this Texas bill would do is do away with non-judicial foreclosures.
Yeah.
And they cannot tack on attorney fees for a full year. So that, do you think, Frank, is going to take away a lot of the incentive that some of these nice guys have?
I sure hope so. At least it will make them be more creative in what they'll be able to bill and how they'll be able to collect. But, you know, it's just too easy for them. This is the happy hunting ground for association attorneys still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And going back to this program, this TV program, it's once every 2 months, so there's only 6 of them a year.
Mm-hmm.
And since we've done quite a bit to promote it on my show, I think it's only fair that they turn around and promote my show, which is on every week.
Well, you know, our callers can feel free, you know, to call in and on the air, you know, tell them about this show, which was kind of the other side of the coin. We're more than happy on this show to have CAI guests. You've had them all the time.
I sure have.
But try to get a non-CAI guest on your community, your call. Try. Just once.
And, yes. Well, we did try.
Yes.
We did try. And they're having no part of it because they want to send in, you know, they want to give their side of the story. But I'll have to be, you know, Frank, we have to mention that I called in one day. And when they were giving out, you know, some of these CAI experts were giving out misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
And we called in and we pointed out that the information they were handing out was wrong.
Yeah, they were talking about access to draft minutes.
That's right.
And, you know, they were getting apoplectic when people seemed to think that they ought to have a right to view draft minutes, notwithstanding the fact that the Attorney General of Virginia several years ago issued a written opinion that draft minutes are just like any other books and records. They don't fall into any of the exceptions of the POA. And so if a homeowner calls in and says, I want to see draft minutes, Attorney General of Virginia said, yeah, you got to turn them over. Well, you know, the CAI attorneys, well, that's just, he's just one more attorney. We don't have to, listen to him. And, and we don't think that, you know, draft minutes should be released because, after all, I mean, it might have the name of a homeowner in there. Well, you know. So Hsu pointed out that the Virginia Property Owners Association Act requires that all materials furnished to board members in an agenda packet, I think the words of the power, all agenda packets and materials made available to board members before a meeting must be made available to homeowners at the same time they're made available to the board.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Hsu called into the show and passed that on to, I guess maybe emailed.
Well, actually, I called into the show and I said it. Mm-hmm. You know, I told them. Of course, they couldn't get me off the phone fast enough.
Oh, yeah.
And the next day, I called the host or the official tax-funded liaison between the county and CAI.
Boy, sure. I'm glad to know my tax dollars are going for such a worthy purpose.
There you go.
To fund our liaison to a trade association.
To a trade association. But we need it, Frank, because,
yes,
you know, all this carefree living doesn't happen on its own, you know.
Yeah.
you need some help there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, heavens.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So anyway, I faxed him the letter from the AG, and I'll give him credit. He did read it the following week, and he had the same guests on.
Yeah.
Because there's only a handful of people that ever ever go on that show. I don't know,
well,
if they're not invited.
You know, this just because the number of people who really know what they're talking about is so limited.
But we have so much CAI running around here. We've got national, we've got the Washington, D.C. Metro chapter, we've got all these advisory panels. I mean, my God, they're all over the place like a bad rash.
Yeah.
You know, surely he can come up with more than a handful of guests.
Well, he's got one on here for the executive director of Burke Center is going to be on this time, and I don't think I've seen him before.
That's
but, you know, some of these attorneys and property managers, do, as you say, seem to reappear with fascinating frequency.
Well, the interesting thing was that, you know, when we called in and then we sent the information in the following, two months later when he did another fresh show, they talked about it again, and he happened to have my email.
Yes.
And so I thought that was pretty neat. But again, the CAI dudes were saying, oh, no, there's no need for them to see this. You know, just don't put anything in the minutes. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
If you don't put anything in the minutes, then nobody's going to want to see it anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
You can just put down what time it started and what time it ended and who was there.
Yeah.
And if a motion was made.
Yeah. We discussed the business of the association, and we had a very good time. A good time was had by all. We had a carefree meeting.
And for that, we need...
We paid our CAI-affiliated recording secretary $400 to transcribe that. Thank you.
Oh... Yeah, that's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Got to spread those assessment dollars around, you know. We got to make sure everybody gets greased here, you know, with their trade association member. You know, it's like the orchestras in New York City. You
know? Notwithstanding the fact that they can't seem to come up with fresh guests periodically, there's a lot of them that need to be greased.
Yeah.
All right, now that we've made fun of CAI. That's my favorite. It's always my favorite topic.
Well, they give us so much material.
I know you. I wouldn't have anything to talk about on a weekly basis here. I've got to tell you, Frank, I sit there, and it's getting harder and harder to plan a show because there's so much stuff out there.
Yeah.
There is so much stuff to talk about. There's so many potential guests. There's so many issues going on. One of the people I'd like to have back on is Mike Schneider, Senator Mike Schneider, mm-hmm. because he's doing things in Nevada as well.
Well, did you talk about your conversation with Michelle McQuigg on this new Virginia bill that right now it only applies to condos regarding videotaping?
No, I think that... Does it only apply to condos? No, it applies to both.
Okay, yeah, there's one that applies just to condos.
Yeah, that's House Bill 1722.
Okay, we'll talk about the videotaping thing, and then we'll talk about the one that just applies to condos.
Okay, well, Michelle McQuigg, who's a delegate who hasn't been in office really all that long. She sort of came in was in a special election. Was flooded. I mean, the minute she took office, her phone started ringing with complaints from people in Prince William County. And I happened to call her, and she was just tongue-tied. But she's not doing too badly. She introduced legislation this year that basically said that any unit owner or lot owner may make a video recording of a meeting of the executive organ or board of directors. Right now, the POA says you can go in and make an audio recording of such meetings. Well, that was her bill going in. And I noticed that everything had been struck. All the language had been struck, and it said any homeowner may record the meeting. So you and I talked about that, and you were not very happy with that.
Well, my concern was that there didn't appear to be any legislative history on how we got from audio recording to audio and video to simply record. They would have changed the law from saying you can make an audio recording to saying you can record without any explanation of what that meant and what that was intended to permit. You and I know how the industry will interpret what it's intended to permit. Well, it's up to the board what kind of recording they want to let you make.
Yeah, and it doesn't say specifically that you can audio record, and it doesn't say you can video record, and therefore we decide you can't do it. Well, we've got a recording secretary here, so we're recording the minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, which is a lot of fun with that dialogue. So I called Michelle McQuigg, and I said, what's the intent behind this? And she told me there's no legislative history, so there's no place we can go and get minutes. Probably they haven't got a CAI recorder, but nowhere is there any legislative history on this. But what she told me, Frank, was we don't want to have to keep coming back every year. So we've just given you blanket approval to record any way you want to record, even if you want to get a court recorder in there.
So it's completely at the discretion of the homeowner as to what technical means will be used. It could be audio, it could be video, it could be a stenographer, subject only to the right of the board to make rules and regulations to prevent interference with the meeting.
That's right.
But the burden would have to be on the board of directors to demonstrate that the desired means of recording would somehow interfere with the meeting.
That's right. And she said that, you know, we don't want to come back if technology comes up with another method of recording. She says, we don't want to have to keep coming back. So whatever's available on the market today and whatever's still to be dreamed up and made available, you can use it to record the meeting.
Okay, so everybody got that? When they tell you, oh, you can only use an audio recording, you can only use a micro cassette, you can only use a
boombox.
Well, according to the sponsor of the bill, that's not the legislative intent. And we may have to go to the Attorney General of Virginia and get a written opinion from him. And, of course, he's just one more lawyer now. But, hey, what a fascinating opportunity for CAI lawyers to get in and litigate what Michelle McQuigg really meant.
The meaning of record.
Yes, the meaning of record.
Carefree living.
Whoopee.
I think that's probably a very good place to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after we hear some more rousing Irish music. And have a happy St. Patrick's Day next week, folks. On the Commons, coming to you from WBR Fairfax Radio, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and in the studio with me is my old friend Frank Short, and we're having a lot of fun doing our annual St. Patrick's Day show, a little early, but we're still celebrating the green, and it's been a lot of fun. Been having a lot of fun listening to some of the music here as well. So, Frank, thanks for joining me today.
Always good fun.
Always. It is always good fun, and if you just joined us, you just missed a lot of fun that we had. But, you know, you can always go back, and if you missed this, if you're in the Virginia area and you missed it, you can always go back and pick up the show on my website. It's www.onthecommons.com. And today we're talking a little bit about legislation from around the country. And, Frank, I think there was another bill you wanted to discuss.
Right. This is a new Virginia bill, House Bill 1722. But this one, for some reason, applies only to condominiums. It doesn't yet apply to homeowners associations, property owners associations, other than condos. And there are two very interesting issues in this bill. First, the bill would require that meetings of any committee or subcommittee of the executive organ of the unit owners association shall be open to all members of the association. You know, what we've seen is boards of directors, now that the Property Owners Association and the Condo Act require open meetings, have tried to slough off to selected committees the real issues that they don't want the homeowners to see. And these issues will be discussed and batted around by these committees until such time as the board of directors thinks that they can slip them in and get them to slide by. The problem is that the real opportunity for homeowners to participate in the development of policy resolutions, to participate in developing the budget, to look at the financials as they're being prepared and get their questions ready in any type of a reasonable timeline, is it makes it very difficult when this is all delegated out to committees and you can't get to the committee meeting because, after all, that's by invitation only.
That's right. We don't.
And sometimes, sometimes not only is it by invitation only, but they're actually secret. There's no announcement. You can't find out when the committees meet, even if you ask.
Well, it's a part and parcel of carefree living. Why would you?
Yeah, I mean, if you found out all this stuff was going on, it might not be so carefree for you. So this bill would provide that in condos, all of these committees or subcommittee meetings would have to be open to members of the association. And that, if that's all the bill said, it would still be a very good bill.
Mm-hmm.
We need corresponding legislation to protect property owners, you know, community association and homeowners members to be able to go to these committee meetings as well. But getting them for condos is certainly a very good start. It appears that CAI's opposition to this part of the bill, they didn't want a requirement for personal notice of committee meetings to owners. If the owners can't get notified of the committee meetings, then it's kind of difficult to exercise your right to attend the committee meetings, you see, if they won't tell you when and where we're going to have these meetings.
Little rascals.
And you remember when the Property Owners Association Act was changed a couple of years ago to require open meetings and require notice to members who asked to be notified.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, you know, this was going to cause, you know, community associations to fall off the edge of the earth if property owners who asked to be notified about board meetings had to be notified about board meetings, you see.
I mean, this was an undue burden to place on small associations. It was, you know, nobody had time to do this. This was totally ridiculous. Remember the song and dance teacher?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we ought to be able to post a notice on the inside of the door of the association office. And, you know, if you happen to come by, well, that will be your notice, you see. Lo and behold, this has been in effect for several years. It's working well. And community associations, for better or worse, are still there today.
Unfortunately.
But CAI still opposes portions of the bill that require personal notice of committee meetings to all owners, and that's too bad. The other side of the bill is even more intriguing.
Okay.
Because the other side of the bill would provide that, except as otherwise provided in the condominium instruments, no executive organ shall require prior approval of the dissemination or content of any material regarding any matter concerning the unit owners association.
I really like that.
Yes. Well, CAI doesn't, you see.
They don't.
No, CAI says that they oppose a provision that would allow the unregulated dissemination of information by unit owners.
It's unregulated.
Well, that's
what they don't.
That's
like.
What they don't like. You say it's unregulated.
It's unregulated. They want to regulate.
We must be able to regulate that.
Take some Metamucil, CAI.
Now, remember, the bill itself says, except as otherwise provided in the condominium instruments. Okay, so what they want to do is be able to regulate it to a degree even beyond what's in the condominium instruments, because otherwise, you know, we could put it in the condominium instruments, you see, how we want to regulate this, and the homeowners would get a chance to vote.
How many condominium instruments do you suppose, Frank, has a provision in there that says you may not communicate with your neighbors?
I can't think of any. But the nice thing is, if they really want a condominium instrument like that, they could put it to a vote of the homeowners. And let's see how many people in favor of carefree living will give up the right to communicate with their homeowners about anything regarding the owners association. Or
that would be carefree then.
Yeah, or that they'd have to submit it and the board of directors would approve, you see, what they could disseminate before they disseminated it.
But you see, they tell you that you give up the right to free speech. There is no such thing as free speech in an association, so now they're going to approve that along with the color of your mailbox and the brand of kitty litter we can't do that because, of course, we all know that cats are not allowed in associations, but I mean, they regulate that too.
Yep.
But now they're going to actually decide whether or not you can say what you want to say.
Oh yeah. Without their approval. Well, this seems to have passed the House of Delegates in Virginia by a vote of 100-0 on January 29, 2003, just barely squeaked by there. Referred to the Senate General Laws Committee on January 30th, 2003. And we have lost track of it since early February, but I think that one is on the fast track and has quite possibly been enacted by now.
I should have checked. I wasn't sure that we were going to be talking about Virginia legislation today, but I should have checked and brought that in to find out what the latest was.
Yeah, I thought that I saw something that that indicated that this had actually passed. I just don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to tell you for sure that it's out there. But all you folks in condos, you know, get ready for the end of the world, because now you have another right. And, well, you know, can't be having those.
Can't be having too many of those, right?
Yeah. Why do you have to get your rights given back to you by the Virginia legislature when you live in one of these things?
You know, Frank, I was sitting there thinking that. I'm tracking all this stuff in all the different states, and I'm looking at reading all of this proposed legislation. Some of the bills are straightforward, and thank you, Michelle. Yours usually are very, very straightforward and to the point. Some of them are pages long, as you know, Frank,
yeah.
And they strike this and they add that, and it gets a little confusing. You try to figure out where they're coming from or what the bill actually says. But, you know, I'm looking at that, and I'm especially looking at the new bill by Senator Lindsey's bill. And I'm thinking, why do we have to go through this just line item by line item?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have the right to breathe. You have the right to know what you're paying for.
Well, what I don't like about these bills that give rights back to us one at a time is that when you get your rights like that, somebody's going to say at some point, well, we don't have a bill that gives you the right to do thus and such. And if you were supposed to have that right, it would be reflected.
That's right.
It would be reflected someplace in the statute books. Therefore, because we haven't passed a statute giving you that right, that's part of the broad panoply of rights that you gave up when you bought in this Carefree Living Association of yours.
I don't know what
that's very dangerous.
I agree with you, Frank. I absolutely agree with you. I'm trying to find the... I've got a stack of papers here in front of me. But I'm trying to find the bill from Texas, because in that, there's one word... Oh, did I give it to you? That's why I can't find it. Thanks. In here, it basically says, where did that go? Something about the bill to be construed in favor of the homeowner.
Yeah, in favor of liberal disclosure of information, or in favor of access, liberal access to records.
And so basically, unless we say you can't do it, then it should be for the homeowner, right? And that kind of language, what do you think of that being put in front of...
that's fine so far as it goes, but that provision of the bill, this section shall be construed liberally in favor of granting a request for information, okay? But unfortunately, it applies only to request for information. It doesn't apply. The association would come back. Now in Texas, I want to distribute this information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the association would come back and say, well, we have a statute that says you can have information, but the statute doesn't say that once you have it, you can give it to somebody else. Therefore, we're going to pass a rule that we're going to give it to you, but you can't give it to your next door neighbor.
Okay.
And if you want to change that, go back to the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I think a better approach would be to clearly delineate the areas in which the HOA can govern. And And then, you know, to take the bylaws, to take the governing documents such as they are and say, okay, these things are going to have a sunset provision. And at a certain point in time, the homeowners are going to look at these again and see whether they still want to live under this regime. And if the homeowners are really as wildly enthusiastic with their carefree living. After all, Sue, you know what? If you go to Fairfax County Consumer Complaints, you won't find a single complaint about a homeowners association.
That's right.
We talked about that in the first. There's not one.
Not one complaint.
Not a one. Dry cleaners, car dealerships, well, there are complaints aplenty. But not one about a condo or homeowners association. Proving conclusively.
Nobody's ever complained. Except we know that's not true, right, Frank?
Yes. Proving conclusively either that there haven't been any or that, yes, we don't take them complaints here in Fairfax County.
Well, I still think that Fairfax County, it's your call, your community, your call, which is what the show's called, ought to be promoting my show, because this is where you'll get the real truth, guys. This is where we'll tell you what's up and what's down.
Well, you know, we ought to have, you know, Mr. Wagner from the Office of Consumer Affairs on the show one of these days, and we'll get to, we'll let him explain why it is that his office, which is called the Office of Cable and Consumer Affairs, which is specifically chartered to take complaints about businesses of all natures, why they won't take one about one of the most powerful businesses on the history of this planet.
Maybe we ought to have a show with Mr. Wagner and his friends.
Mr. Wagner and his friends?
The ones he always has on his show.
Oh, well, you know, the more the merrier.
And you'll be here.
Well, it would be highly entertaining.
you'll get an opportunity to sort of debunk some of this stuff.
Well, again, for those of you who just tuning in this hour, the name of their show is Your Community, Your Call, and it's going to air on Tuesday, March 11th, 2003, on Fairfax Cable Channel 16 from 7 to 8 p.m. And the topic will be assessments, penalties, and collections. And as usual for this show, we're having an entire CAI-affiliated panel. So feel free to call in and ask them where in the Virginia Property Owners Association Act the words due process appear and what CAI has done to promote due process instead of kangaroo courts on these hearing panels. And how do you get a neutral hearing panel, or do you really want one? And after you hear their answers, well, then you can refer some people to this show where they'll get the other side of the answer. This is the place where you'll find us talking about the Gilman case. This is the place you'll find us talking about the Foley case up in Rhode Island, the constitutional implications of allowing homeowners associations to fine their members and then to non-judicially foreclose to collect a fine, to run a hearing panel with a board-appointed kangaroo court affording you no due process rights at all except the right to be notified of the hearing and show up, at which point you get to tell them how sorry you are and beg them not to fine you. Yes, due process, carefree living at its best in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Brought to you by CAI and their lobbyists in the Virginia legislature.
Yep. Well, except that the legislators are starting to wise up.
Well, they're starting. We're seeing it in other states, and it will work its way back here, very close to the national headquarters of CAI, at which point we'll all have a big party.
Yeah, you're all invited to come. Bring tea bags. The Potomac needs a little. That's right. But, you know, to be fair, Frank, we do have a couple of good legislators.
Oh, they're unquestionably. We've already talked about Michelle McQuigg. We've already talked about Senator Mims, who, although he doesn't have anything on the books this year, he was one of the key forces behind the Open Meetings Act that passed, I think it was 3 years ago.
Yes.
that has done great things for homeowners. Our rights are better than they were. They're still not what they should be. They're still not what they are in other states. We still have the ability in Virginia for non-judicial foreclosure to collect a fine, which is an abomination and which should be stopped. And there's still too much of an opportunity for all kinds of bored hanky-panky with no place for a homeowner to go to get that resolved by his real government. And you're left with the alternative to go hire a lawyer and sue, and you and your resources, you find yourself up against a million-dollar corporation that will be more than happy to string this thing out and delay and obfuscate for as long as possible. And there's no governmental entity to whom you can complain, even in the face of a clear-cut violation of the law. And that needs to be fixed, folks.
Well, you can complain, but they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, you can call the an email to the Fairfax County Cable and Consumer Affairs and find out what they say.
You can complain.
Yeah, all of you guys with complaints out there, send them to the office of Fairfax County Cable and Consumer Affairs. Call in next week and tell us what response you've got.
Yeah, we'll have the first hour. It's your turn. You can call in and tell us then. That would be a lot of fun. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what these guys have to say on Tuesday. Maybe we'll report on that next week. Maybe we won't.
I hope that we'll be able to, because it ought to be a very entertaining show. One of our favorite topics has come up there again and again, is finding people, non-judicial foreclosure, and why it is that CAI thinks that the world will end if you treat an association just like any other business. You enforce governing documents just like you enforce any other contract. You go to a real court with a real judge who's read the Constitution and who's perfectly capable of reading the governing documents and finding out, whether in fact the association has a legitimate case. But then we wouldn't be able to enjoy our kangaroo courts and our non-judicial foreclosures and our fining and our carefree living the way we do today.
Frank, there's something that really annoys me, and just touching on what you just said, many states are either proposing or already have proposed or are already collecting a certain sum of money, annual sum per door. So homeowners are having to fork over. In Nevada, I think it's $3 per door. And I think they're trying to push something similar to that in Arizona. And I've seen it. I think they were talking about it in Texas as well. Why should homeowners pay extra for protection that they're already paying for? I mean, they're already paying for things that twice for things that they already pay for. Their taxes are supposed to cover a number of services that traditionally are provided by the local municipality. They're paying their assessments to cover those. Now they're being expected to pay an additional sum.
I don't like the idea of the additional door charge at all, nor do I like where it usually goes, which is to a CAI-controlled entity up at the state level, which is no more than, hide the banana, and we'll come out with some rosy-sounding report once a year and keep the legislator off our back. We'll tell them how great these things are. Senator, there have been one or two isolated incidents, but nothing really to speak of, and everything is just hunky-dory in HOA land. Don't pay any attention to that man behind the curtain.
That's
he's another isolated incident. That's what happens too often with the money. But I don't have a problem with a $3 door charge if at the end of the charge I have a real governmental entity with enforcement powers and teeth that is consumer-oriented towards protecting homeowners, not something under the thumb of a trade association.
But the thing is, you know, when you buy a car, you don't pay an additional $3 per car so that you can have the police out there with their
they analogize that you have to pay a fee to get a license. And, there's all kinds of ways to talk about it. I don't like it, but I wouldn't object if at the end of it we get real governmental oversight with teeth, with enforcement powers, and it wouldn't take too long if you had an office like that to clean up a lot of this stuff. You know, you have one or two of these associations in a state, half dozen in a state, that are the worst offenders. You make them examples. You go after the management companies. You go after the lawyers. You go after the accountants. And you put a couple of people on the skyline like that, and the rest of them will get the word. Whatever else they are, they aren't stupid.
Oh.
We've called them, you know, all kinds of things on the show. We've never called them stupid.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you can't be stupid and do what you're doing. Get away with it.
Oh, yeah.
And get away with it. I mean, that's the big thing. Oh, that leads me. We're running out of time, but, you know, very quickly, the Management Information Fund, that's something that's uniquely Virginia. And what it does is it requires every association to register annually and send in a $25 fee, registration fee. That fee is put into a fund.
Yeah, and guess who has a monopoly on that fund?
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going with it.
Yeah.
I mean, here you've got this big pot of money down there, and you've got an advisory panel that reads like who's who in CAI.
Yeah, and they wind up putting out some coffee table book on carefree living and associations.
Well,
how great these things are.
Virginians have funded videotapes made by a company in Michigan. You know, we funded that, and these guys are selling these tapes. But it came from homeowners in Virginia. And they don't even know it, Frank.
No.
Because they're paying this money to their association. The association then is sending the money to this fund. And there you have CAI sitting around the table nibbling away at this.
Well, you've got to spread that money around. So, you know,
there's a lot of greasy people.
In the trade association, everybody has to get a cut, you know. Can't leave anybody out, otherwise these other industries won't join, you know, and if they don't join, well, we lose our lobbying clout, and then, well, you know, pretty soon, they'll, you know, the homeowners are starting to figure this out, and if they ever figure it out, you know, what's going to happen to that? Uh-oh, I don't want to go there.
You don't really
our carefree living.
Speak up, Frank. Frank, we're out of time. I can't believe it. We had a lot of fun. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Same to you.
To all of you out there. And thanks for bringing in some fun music for a change. I'm sorry, those of you who are going to be listening to this on the website, on the internet, won't get to hear the music. But the reason for that is because of what your real government did to you as well. So thanks again. Thanks for joining us. And plan on being here next week, next Saturday, from 1 to 2 for It's Your Turn, Frank. Anybody can call in.
You can critique your community, your call, on Channel 16, Fairfax Channel 16, from 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday night, the subject of which will be assessments, penalties, and collection.
And don't forget to tell them about It's Your Turn. And
star-studded CAI panel.
tell them we said hello.
That's right.
Yeah, when you call in, say Frank and Sue, say hi. Anyway, fortunately, I don't have anyone behind me, so I can take fudge a little in the time here. But thank you so much for joining me, Frank, and thanks to all of you for joining us. And I hope you will be with us again next week from 1 to 2 for It's Your Turn, and plan on calling in. And from 2 to 3, as always, it's On the Commons. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.